Christianity is a term that describes many people and many groups that claim roots from Jesus Christ. Another term, in addition to Christianity, is the term Christendom. A term, again, describing people who claim their origin to be from Jesus Christ, the teachings of Jesus Christ. I think of that term Christendom as describing or picturing a huge umbrella under which, okay, are all of the people who use the term Christian or Christianity. All right, that helps, thank you. And so, all who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, are they really so? Okay, are they really followers of Jesus Christ? Now listen, young people, I'd like you to sit up, I'd like you to open up, and I'd like you to listen up. Because the Bible has some very specific things to say that answers this question, are all who claim to be followers of Christ really so? You will hear many people who claim to be followers of Christ, and they will use much of the terminology that is used in a church like ours, a Bible-believing, Bible-based ministry. They'll use terms like we use. There are groups that will quote scripture that we would quote and use. And so a lot of people get confused because, well, they talk like we do, and they act like we do. Who are we to say they're not Christians? I'm very pleased to tell you that we don't have to say that they're not Christians.
Amen.
The Bible does it.
Amen.
Yes. Okay? But in our day in which we're living, and this has been true for many decades, but it is increasing. It is getting more pronounced. The idea that anybody who claims to be Christian, you just go ahead, you have to accept what they say, because who are you to judge? Okay? You're not supposed to judge. And again, I am proud or pleased to tell you, we do not have to judge. But we do have to live by the scriptures. You say, well, that's just your viewpoint. You know, Christians like myself are not the only ones who say this. You get into other religious groups, okay? And just because a person claims to be a Muslim doesn't make them one.
Right.
There are certain things that the imam looks
right
to be evident in a person's life so that they would know if they really are a Mohammedan or a Muslim. And so turn in your Bible, if you will, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. This kind of message is not always popular. But I want to show you, you just turn to Matthew chapter 7, and I'm going to turn somewhere else and read you some scriptures as to why it is necessary for preachers like myself to preach this kind of a message. Jude says in verse 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Jude wanted to just write about very happy, agreeable, easy to listen to things, the common salvation. He wanted to write about John 3:16, but he found it necessary to do what the Apostle Paul did when he did warn about people who were misusing the scriptures. And so now you're in Matthew chapter 7. Look at verse 21. Now this is Jesus speaking. And Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord." Now that day is the day of judgment. They're standing before him in judgment. And they'll say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name we've cast out devils. And in thy name we've done many wonderful works." And what's Jesus' answer to them? It's very clear in verse 23. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you." He doesn't say, "I knew you, but didn't always agree with you." He said, "I never knew you." Meaning, you never have followed me as Lord. But they did things in his name. They did a lot of wonderful, unusual things in his name. In other words, they would have called themselves Christians. Christ followers. Christ-like. But Jesus himself said, that's not so. Now, if you'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 5. This is not an unfamiliar portion of scriptures. 2 Timothy 3, 5. But he says here regarding some men, this was true in his day, and it would continue to be so until the Lord returns. He talks about people who, verse 5, have a form of godliness. They look like Christians, they sound like Christians, they act like Christians, they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Okay. They don't have what they talk about. Well, who's the Apostle Paul to say that? He's the man inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. And the reason God had him say it is because it was not only true in his day, but God knew it would be increasingly so as we near to the end times. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And what are we supposed to do in light of such people? Well, he says at the end of verse 5, from such turn away.
Right.
Why is it that Bible-believing Christians don't do just anything and everything with anyone and everyone who claims they're Christians? Why don't we go to the Roman church and partake in the Mass? They're talking about Jesus. They even have many little statues and icons hanging around showing him on the cross. Which, by the way, that's not where he is. That's one reason the crucifix is wrong, because he's not on the cross anymore. Okay, well, they're just remembering what he did do. Well, an empty cross would show that just as well. Yeah, well, you're being judgmental. No. Jesus Christ said, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord. And the Apostle Paul, as the Spirit of God led him, said there's a lot of people, they'll have a form of godliness. Things will look religious. But it isn't just how things look, it's how they are inside.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to remember a story that I heard. Things aren't always the way they look. There was There were two men, they were friends in high school. They both had their eye on the same girl. And John's the one who got the girl. And the other fellow would say, lucky John, he got her. And then things went on a while, and some other things happened, and this fellow would say, lucky John, and he got her. And then, he didn't know what happened, but they ended up getting divorced. And John left, okay? And so the fellow said, oh, this is great. Now he was able to, get her. And do I have this story mixed up, Patricia? The way she's looking. Would you please tell it? Now, the way I first heard a story, I think it was Jim. And I wanted to avoid Jim, so I thought, what's another name? Forgetting that our pastor's name is John. He's John. He's pastor. He's not John. My usual illustrative individual, and the Fords would know this, is Henry. Okay, because seldom do you ever meet a Henry, all right? And so usually that's what I use for an imaginary name, but I knew I had it mixed up by her facial reaction. And there was no going on anymore, because it just was getting worse the way I was going. The point is, things aren't always as they look. And therefore you may have some, this can be a family member. This can be a neighbor, a co-worker. There's many different situations in which you can come in contact with somebody who claims to be Christian, uses the terminology, but you can tell, even though they've got a form of godliness, something's not right. Now, let me tell you, listen to me. I told you to sit up and listen, and I want that for all of you. That does not mean it's okay to treat them unkindly, disrespectfully, or in a haughty spirit like, well, we know the truth and you don't. That's absolutely wrong. The Bible tells us that we are to be kind and loving to all people, but that does not mean that you have to accept all actions and people as if it were something that they're not. The Bible is the key to defining the true meaning of Christians. True Christians are not a small, exclusive group, as some would infer, okay? There's another story. I know I got this right. Fella died and went to heaven. And St. Peter, this doesn't happen. But St. Peter met him at the gate, and he was taking him down the hallway, showing him around. I don't know what hallway. But he was taking him down the hallway, showing him around. He came up to one room. He said, "Oh, shh, be quiet." So they tiptoed past that door. They got down a little, and I see some of you have heard this. And they said to Peter, "Why did we have to be quiet there?" He said, "Oh, that's the room where the Baptists are, and they think they're the only ones here." It's always nice to tell a joke on yourself. I had a fellow tell me one time, an old pastor, he's in heaven now. He said to me, "Roger," he said, "it's not so much what name is written over the door.
Yes, sir.
As what's inside the building.
Yeah, yeah.
What they believe.
Yes, sir.
How they live. What they practice.
Amen.
Now, I believe that the history of the Baptist is rich, and I think the name is worth having. But the point is, you know, if you're a Catholic, you may think that things are restricted to just the Catholics. If you're in an Episcopalian church, you may think it's restricted just to those in the Episcopalians and whatever. The fact of the matter is, it's not restricted just to a certain particular group, but it is determined by what the Word of God says. Now, being a Christian, it's exclusive, but it's also inclusive. Well, how can that be? How can something be exclusive and also inclusive? Well, 1 John chapter 1. We're going to be in the Gospel of John for a few verses here. The Gospel of John chapter 1. Familiar verse. You've heard it before. Could probably quote it. John chapter 1 verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. So you see, it includes anyone. Many. We'll see, as you're familiar, that whosoever will. So it includes as many as will. But that means it excludes those who won't.
That's right.
You see?
Yes, sir.
Jesus Christ died for all. But only those who accept him become part of all that he died for. John chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's inclusive. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. That's the exclusive part. Okay, but who excluded them? God? No, they did. They would not believe. He that believeth not, they exclude themselves. Christianity is often criticized because of being exclusive. And listen, that's not a bad thing. And Christians aren't the only ones who think that way. Now, we think that way because of what the Bible says. Do you think the Muslims are going to allow just anybody into their mosques? Mm-mm. As a matter of fact, we're reading how when ISIS and other terrorist groups take over a place, they come in and they give the people the opportunity to denounce Christ and Christianity and to convert and become Muslims. And what happens when they don't? What are you reading? What are you hearing in the news? Speak up. Yeah, beheaded. They're killed. That sounds rather exclusive to me.
Yeah.
See, so don't think that, you know, oh my, yes, that's right, us Christians, you know. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Turn to it so you can see what the next words are, because they're very significant. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, it is inclusive in that this same Jesus, we are told in John chapter 3, okay, we were there in chapter 3 earlier, in John chapter 3 and verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And then the familiar John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So it includes all who will come, but it excludes any who won't come. But it is not God who sits in heaven and determines that. That is determined by the individual. Now, inevitably, somebody is going to raise the question, well, what about the poor loincloth lady that lives in the middle of the jungle? They've never had a church. They've never had a gospel preacher. What about them? That question is usually asked expecting that it's going to be a conversation stopper, that there couldn't be an answer for it. There's actually a couple different answers for it. One answer is, if you're really concerned about them, what are you doing to reach that loincloth native in the middle of the jungle? You could go and tell them. If you really think they ought to be hearing the gospel, how much money are you giving to missions to send a missionary who is going? And besides that, if you go to the book of Romans, it's in the book of Romans that tells us that God has given man a conscience. God has given man a creation. And both the creation and the conscience will, when a man seeks to know truth, God will reveal himself. The first story I heard in this manner, but not by any means the only one. I wish I had begun to actually write them all down. They were heard from missionaries or read in books written by missionaries. But the one that I remember was about a native in the middle of the jungle. I don't know, was it a country in Africa? Was it South America? Makes no difference. But this particular native was not satisfied with what he was taught by his witch doctors. He did not have peace. He did not have understanding or answers to his questions. And so he traveled to the next village, and he talked with the people of that village about their gods. Again, didn't get answers that satisfied him. Did not find what he was looking for. So he went to another village. By now, you see, because they are territorial, he was traveling into sort of hostile territory. But he nevertheless went. When he was stopped by the people of those villages, he would let them know he was searching to know about God, and would give his questions to them, and he would not find answers that did satisfy. And he'd go to the next village. Can you guess what was at one of the villages he went to? A missionary, yes. And when the people of that village wondered, because they could tell, I don't know how they can tell, maybe it's the size of the bones in their ears, you know? Maybe it's the manner of how, you know, how they dress or don't dress. You've seen pictures, you know, now you don't have to look at pictures anymore, you just need to go out in our own American streets. But, in some way they knew this guy was not supposed to be where he was. And they told him, you need to see the missionary. He went and he talked with the missionary, and you know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey famously said, because it was there that he found the answers.
Amen.
He found Christ. Now listen, if God would do that for one man, he would do it for more. Wow. If you want some really good reading, Don Richards, well, I'm sure that's his name, Don Richards, Eternity in Their Hearts. I do know that's the name of the book. Eternity in Their Hearts. It's an old book. I'm sure you can find it on Amazon.com or other bookseller of that sort. absolutely fascinating how God reveals himself. We Americans tend to feel and think that if we haven't sent a missionary there, or at least some other American ally country hasn't sent a missionary there, what are those poor people going to do? Listen, those poor people have an all-holy God creator in heaven. And he is revealing himself to people.
Yeah.
And there are what I'm going to call vestiges of his truth that have been embedded. What's that? I think it's in South America. It's on the cover of this book. I know I'm going to butcher the name. Machu Picchu?
Machu Picchu.
It's on top of a mountain, and they found it, and it was, you know, no longer being lived there, but it was an ancient civilization, and God had a witness there. No, we didn't know that. No, that's because we seem to tend to think that we're the ultimate. But we're just part of a great thing that God's doing. Now, you say, what's the point of all this? The point of it is that whosoever, and the native in the middle of the jungle, is excluded if he does not seek to know the answers. But you know what? So are people in the United States of America who sit in the pews of, let me go with it again, Baptist churches. They may hear the gospel. The guy in the jungle doesn't hear it. They may hear it, but the end result's the same. The one in the pew doesn't receive it. Does that mean he's going to be less lost than a fellow in the jungle who doesn't bother putting forth any effort to find God? No, they're both lost. Because the Bible tells us, except a man be born again. But, preacher, there are so many who claim to use the Bible. Who's right? That's another one of them questions thrown at you. And, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, they all use the Bible. The Christian Science even uses the Bible. It's just according to how you want to interpret it. No, it's according to how God interprets it.
That's right.
According to what the scriptures teach. A first grader is able to read enough of the Bible to know what the Bible teaches.
Yeah.
First place that I heard of it, Neil Ford's grandfather, who was a preacher at Bell Run Union Church. And I was told many times, Neil, by people who were, when he was there, young people, and they said they often heard Neil Ford say, and he's named after him, okay? They often heard his grandfather say, it isn't what we don't know in the Bible that gives us trouble. It's what we do know and don't live by.
That's right.
You don't have to know a lot to know to be saved. I mean, if all you had was John 3:16, that's all you would need. Now, God's given us so much more. But, so, well, how do we know the way we use the Bible is the right way? Let me just give you, I may talk about this more next week, but let me give it to you now. Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. And verse 20. Isaiah chapter 8. And verse 20. To the law and to the testimony. I would summarize that to say the scriptures. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them.
Yes, that's right. Yes, sir.
Now let's look and describe more. Now, when did Isaiah write? Okay? I don't know. My other Bible has dates on when the guy thought it was written, and so it at least gets you very close.
Pretty close.
Yeah. And so I'm not sure when it was a long time ago. You know, Isaiah didn't live yesterday. We got that part of that, right? And in verse 19 he says, "And when they shall say unto you," who they? These are the religious people. "When they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits." You watch TV. And I see it all the time. It disgusts me and I change channels. But what is who? Yeah, it's a psychic. It's a woman, and she's very popular. And come on, I admit that I see it sometimes. I don't watch the program. I see the promotion for it. And it's the not New England psychic, not New York. Long Island medium. Thank you. And man, everybody, want to go see her? Okay. Everybody wants to go see her and find out. Listen, when they say to you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and mutter. That's that peep and mutter is describing a sound that those that had familiar spirits, the biblical term would be are demon possessed. Okay? And now listen to me. When you look at the Long Island medium, she just looks like most anybody else. Okay? And talks like anybody else. Because as I was told recently, regarding Lord of the Rings, okay? I'm not gonna talk about it. I did see that one, okay?
Yeah.
But there's a good wizard and there's the bad wizard. Okay? The good wizard and the bad wizard. Well, that's a hard word for a Dutchman to say. It comes out wizard. now listen to me. A wizard's a wizard.
That's right.
Yeah.
And part of their whole wizardry is deception. Deception. And that's the problem with those kind of stories and books and movies. They break down our resistance to what God's Word says about such things. God's Word never speaks positively about a wizard or a witch or seeking those with familiar spirits that make noises that causes people to think, wow, they must be talking to somebody from the dead. Huh. No, they're very much alive. They're demons. Ooh, that's not popular today. Well, who's worried about being popular? I'd rather be alive. And people who follow after that sort of thing will end up condemned and die in hell forever. You know, oh no, my grandmother goes to a fortune teller. I don't know what to tell you about that sort of thing, other than the fact it's not good. It's not good. And people, should not a people seek unto their God? That's what Isaiah says. He said, shouldn't you seek God? Not those with familiar spirits, not wizards, but should you not seek God? He goes on, for the living to the dead. So you want to know something about the living and you go to somebody that's dead? Now wait a minute. You want to go to the living when you want to talk about the living. You say, well, no, it makes sense. People that are dead, they have something to tell us. No, they don't have a thing to tell us.
That's right.
But there are demons who will impersonate individuals who are dead. Now, I'm getting into a whole different area that I don't have time to get into. And so we're just going to wrap it up there. And I may have opened for you a can of worms. But hey, worms taste good, okay? Worms taste good. Gummy worms. All right. Obviously, I meant gummy worms. Who would eat real worms? Except people that, you know, nobody likes me, nobody loves me. Guess I'll go eat worms. Okay. Now let's take some prayer requests. While you think of yours, remind you, Donna Gappa had her knee surgery today. Some of you may have gotten this email from Lisa DiPaolo. She says, we go tomorrow morning to get the result from Bob's last MRI. Please pray that the doctor will not slant his reading of the MRI to his bias, but that there will be a big enough change that it is obvious. Bob's anxiety is 90% better than what it was. He still has it, but it is manageable. However, the headaches he has again. Thank you for your prayers. So we give you that update regarding Bob. That's tomorrow. And then, Amy, can you give us an update on your dad and stepmother?
Marilyn went into the ER today. She had to have an MRI. She hasn't been able to go to the bathroom for a week, and then she couldn't urinate for about a day, so they were concerned. I just got word that the MRI, they thought that she had, I don't know what they call it, a psychological fracture in her bones. Why psychological, I don't understand. But it's a break inside the bones.
Okay.
And, but it could have been there for a while. Well, I think they ruled that out. So they're doing some things to get her intestines moving, but they think that's probably from the chemo, one of the side effects of the chemo.
Okay.
So, but they believe by 7 o'clock she should be able to go back home.
Okay. Amy's stepmother, cancer, not gone to the bathroom for a week, and went to the ER today, and they're testing different things to see what is taking place. Cliff Taylor, Evangelist Cliff Taylor, has heart issues. He'll be going to Dayton, Ohio. When again is he going there? Do you recall?
The 29th or 30th, I believe, the 30th of June.
Okay. All right. June 29th, 30th, in that time frame, he's going to Dayton, Ohio, regarding his heart issues. For the Fords, this man, his grandfather is a fellow that I led to the Lord who lived next to Ken Bell. Taylor's up there. Ray Taylor? Was Ray his brother? And was Ray the grandfather, too? Would be Cliff's dad. I think maybe that's the case. Anyway, related to folks, Taylor's over, over. I was going to say our way, your way.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Youth Week, remember to be in prayer for that. Mike Falk is preaching Sunday to lead it off, and then Monday night we'll begin the actual Youth Week services. Yes, Josh.
My sisters and their kin. My work and my whole family.
Okay. Josh wants prayer regarding his salvation, sisters, schoolwork, and his family. All right, others. Amy.
I don't know if all of you know, but my classroom was closed. I had to go through that bidding process, and the only job that was available was a middle school position in Pioneer Middle School out there in Arcade, which if I stick with it, I will have to take about 3 or 4 classes to extend my certification. I have put an application into Olean for a special ed teacher, so I'm going to keep that in prayer.
Okay.
And I guess Belfast is also hiring, and I'm going to be putting in an application there.
Okay, so that's Olean, and where was the other one?
Belfast.
Belfast.
That'd be a blessing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Lucky job.
All right. Other requests. Other requests. We'll close it down and go to prayer. Autumn. Okay, I could not hear her. Can you tell me, Amy?
Just her family.
Okay, all to one's prayer for her family. Very good. Pastor.
Brother, I'd like people to pray for the church finances. We have done a lot of special projects this year, and it has really drained the overall amount that we have in the bank. And I think everything we've done needed to be done, but we just need people to pray. Everybody I see is making less money than they were. And obviously the tithes are down, so just pray.
Okay. Okay, very good. Chris.
Just pray for me and my family. We're going through a little bit of a hard time right now.
All right, Chris asks prayer for him and his family. Some difficult times right now. All right, Doug.
Pray for Bass's and voice.
All right, pray for John Sharon and their sons. Very good. Caleb. All right, he wants prayer. Caleb wants prayer for his dad and his preacher. I think that's a real good prayer. Very good. Others, we're going to go to prayer. Amy?
My co-worker, she says she's a Christian, and I believe she is. She really loves the Lord. Just found out that her husband is in renal failure, and they have some kidneys there. And there's some tests that need to be done on Friday, and we'll have to go to a kidney specialist. But he doesn't know the Lord. He comes to church once in a while, but if you would just pray for her and for him.
Okay. Co-worker of Amy, she's a Christian, but the co-worker's husband is unsaved and he's having some kidney failure problem. All right, let's go to prayer. Missionary to pray for is the Seatmans in Mexico. Boy.
Sorry, buddy.